Bring greetings this morning in Jesus' name. I appreciated the Bible study, and I just pray that we can continue to worship the Lord and that the remainder of this service would be part of that growth that we heard about and we studied this morning. And that's my heart as I share what I feel God has laid on my heart to give this morning. And I want to share that I am on a journey with the subject that I want to share on to live this myself. And so as being in that journey, I like to share what God is showing me, teaching me, and I trust together we can continue the journey. And so turn your Bibles to Matthew 5, verse 8. I'd like to speak on this short verse and look into what it means. And we look to the Lord to open our understanding and to help us in the reality of this. Let me read it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just call on your name this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing and joy it is to gather with your people. Thank you, Lord, for the assembly here this morning. And Lord, we look to you to teach us, continue to teach us more of yourself, who you are and what your heart is for us. And as we go through life, that Lord, you can come into our lives, open our understanding, open our eyes to see you and to have the reality of Christ in our lives. So guide us, Lord, and bless this time this morning. I pray that we could, this morning, that the bread of life can be broken to each of our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We give ourselves to you in Christ's name. Amen. So this morning, I'd like to just look at this verse a bit and see what it means. So before I do that, I'd like to, all of us together, read this verse. It's a short verse. So Matthew 5, verse 8, let's read it together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So what does that mean? When we think of being pure in heart, we see that on one side as a condition. And then we see the part of seeing God. We see two parts here. First, purity. And that comes back to what is happening within our lives and what God is doing with our lives. We honor God through obedience. On the flip side, we dishonor him through not obeying God. And so the question this morning, as we ponder the aspect of purity, who has ownership of our heart and life? Purity and being filled with God's Spirit releases God's power into our lives. Or again, on the flip side, impurity blocks the Spirit of God and allows the devastating effects of Satan's power in our life. So we have a choice. Which way are we going with our life and what are we doing? An example of that would be in our physical bodies. As an infection in our physical body saps our strength and takes away our ability to function, so it is in our spiritual life. It destroys our ability to be effective. Thank you, guys. In our goals as Christians. So seeking the Lord and being pure in heart, we have that decision to make. Are we going to look to the Lord, serve him, allow him to continue the sanctifying work in our hearts? We have a warning in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26 through 30. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, So let him eat that bread and drink that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So we see two different conditions here. We see that the result of people not walking with God, taking part of communion, we see them becoming weak and sickly, and as a result then, they are asleep. So we want to look at those two aspects this morning. Ultimately, the person who allows Satan to be in his life, it will destroy him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is in Romans 6. So this morning we want to look into this. So let's read our scripture again. And I want to do this periodically through the message. I want to just implant that it's such a short verse that different times I think when we read through the Beatitudes, we're just bumping them off as we're reading down through. But I want us to take time to let that impress on our hearts. So Matthew 5, verse 8, all together again. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Again, we have the two. So let's look at what are some of the definitions as we think of seeing God. First of all, let's look at that part of it. There's two definitions for that. One is, you can say the obvious. We all are looking forward to being in heaven. We will see God. The other aspect of seeing is when we're talking about understanding God, and that starts today. God's heart is that we embrace purity and God's sanctifying work in our hearts so we can understand God today. And as a result, we will see him. And so, first of all, it's interesting as we think of understanding and seeing God, it starts with the unsaved. In Romans 1, verse 17 through 21, it's speaking here of different of the sins of mankind and so on. And then in verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Now notice how often it's talking about seeing God or understanding and growing, knowing of God, showed it unto them. But what's fascinating to me is it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Isn't that fascinating? It calls it the invisible, but you're going to clearly see it. Notice the switching here. It's things that we don't see with our physical eyes, but God will introduce that to our understanding. And it's fascinating as we think of seeing God. Notice that this is to the unsaved. It's talking about they're going to see what can't be seen. In other words, they're going to understand. And what's fascinating is when you look at the whole story of evolution and how that they have really tried to muster that up. It's very interesting that one of the professors that was really teaching that, he said, well, we need to believe this after all. We don't want to believe in a creator. And it was really fascinating. It came right out of his mouth. And so that takes us to the latter part of this verse. It says, because that when they knew God. In other words, I really believe this professor got to the place where he understood there's something more to this than just happenstance. And you know how it is. It's very easy to prove that, no, these things just didn't happen. There is a creator or designer behind this. And so when they didn't know God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, you think about it from the physical, first of all. Now, so, first of all, you see. If you don't accept what you see, your heart becomes dark. Darkness is talking about light or seeing. So the interesting thing is you lose your eyesight and your ability to discern. And so we think of someone who physically now can't see or hear. That is devastating. That is very, very difficult to work with a person that can't see and can't hear. But God's call to us is that we see who he is, meaning understand who he is, and then at that point, we have a decision to make. Are we going to see God and embrace that sanctifying work in God's heart in our lives? Or are we going to say no? Because if we say no, the lights go out. The lights become dim, and our heart becomes darkened. In Ephesians 1, we have a scripture here talking to the Christian, verse 17 through 20. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. We're talking about being getting excited. Now, this is a verse that should excite us. Realize that the glory of God and the spirit of wisdom, the revelation of the knowledge of him, is the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Again, notice the metaphor of our physical eyes and our spiritual understanding. It is God's heart to show us these things that we can see, and that there's more light, and there's an increasing brightness of the light of God in our lives, that we may know the hope of his calling, the progression, and the riches of the glory of his saints, the inheritance that we're getting, the exceeding greatness. Now, if I say that to you, you can say, oh, wait a minute, Ed, you're just getting a little excited. No, it's not me. This is what God has told us, that the exceeding greatness, this is what God wants to show us. And it lies in the fact that we need to embrace the character of God, the holiness of God. And so let's say our verse again together. Matthew 5, verse 8. All together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Brothers and sisters, it's our promise. It's your promise. It's my promise. As we walk with God, that God will continue to illuminate our life and give us direction and clarity. I appreciate many of the thoughts this morning, but one of them stood out to me is Brother Franz talked about sometimes we need to wait a while before God gives us the answer. And that is part of it. I find that as I get older, I thought I had this figured out. And I'm realizing I don't. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to relate to it. I know this is right, but somehow it's not working. And so there's where it comes times to ponder and seek the Lord and say, God, I want more of your understanding. I want that light to shine in my heart. And you know, the brighter the light, the better you can see. Fascinating thing to think about in nature, and I think I've shared this before, but just to remind us. You know, when we walk in this room, in a room, and you flip the light on, has the content of the room changed at all? I see your head shaking. No. What changed? We could see it, right? And so think of it that way when you think of walking with God and having God's work, His Spirit working our lives. The brighter the light, the illumination of our understanding of who God is, and the greater we see our need is. Understand, the need is still has been there. It's the light of the gospel that helps us see it. So the need didn't change. It's just our understanding with the need. And I like to think about that when I face a situation where I don't know what to do with it, and I seek the Lord, I'm saying, okay, it reminds me of God's goodness. This is truth. This is something that stood all this time. And yet God was loving and gracious to me. And now has opened my eyes to realize I'm not understanding this completely. So as we continue in our walk with God, we are servants to whom we obey. Romans 6, verse 16 through verse 18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Notice that we are servants. It's not whether we're a servant or not. The question is, to whom are we servants? Is it to God, the path of light and life, or is it the path of death, destruction, breaking down, the coming apart of life? 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So again, if we walk in the light as he is, God, as Christ, God is in the light, we have fellowship. And that question came up this morning. How do we do this? And I believe what God's call to us is that each one of us walks with God. And as we walk with God and our light, the light of Christ in us becomes brighter, we have fellowship with each other. And notice, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice the process there. We walk in light, we have fellowship, and the cleansing work continues. That is God's heart for us, is that we continue on. We have not arrived in the sense of we're finished. We can come where we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, where we're walking by faith. That is God's heart, that we walk with him by faith. We are there, okay? In that sense, we have attained. But it's God's desire that as that faith continues in our life, we continue to go into a higher or deeper, however you want to say it, walk with him. And where the practicalness of faith plays itself out in our lives. 2 Timothy 2 has an interesting scripture. It says, a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. One of the things that happens is if we don't walk with God with all of our hearts and live for him, our heart is then divided. In other words, each time we obey God, we give this part of our life to God. But when we choose not to obey and we do what is not God's will, we give this part to Satan. And our hearts and our lives can actually become divided, where the ownership is in question. Who actually owns us? Is it God or is it Satan? And one of the sobering things that happens is if we have given Satan space in our life, he can come in and take us captive and actually destroy what God is intending to do through different situations. And he can come in and actually cause that God's name is actually dishonored. So let's consider that. We want to walk with God, to honor God, And one of the ways we honor him is by giving the Lord lordship of our life. With that lordship comes protection. With that, it is God's desire that his spirit can be released and his will can be done effectively. Some of you know about the story of Otto Koning. He served as a missionary in Papua New Guinea, and is the writer of the Pineapple Story. I think we're familiar with that. And I really appreciate his message set on the sanctifying work of God's life, God's work in his life. One of the things he shared is his battle with anger. You remember the pineapple story where they were stealing the pineapples constantly, and he was so frustrated with them, and he'd get angry with them. And one day he realized that, look, this is wrong. I'm getting angry. I mean, I'm angry at the very people I want to share Christ with. This is wrong. I got to deal with this. And his testimony is, one day I was in the middle of yelling at him, and all of a sudden I remember, and I stopped and said, no, it's okay, you can take him. And he became victorious over his anger. His anger just stopped. The Navy said, what happened to him? And they said to him, you know what? He became a Christian. Now think about that. You're sharing the gospel of these heathens for all these years, and the heathens turn around and say, you became a Christian. But think about it, brothers. That comes close home. How many times have we blew it and failed? And they said, you know, we were hoping we would meet a Christian someday. You explained to us what this looks like and what it should be like, but we wanted to meet one someday. And when he had victory over his sin, the lights came on. And the sobering thought here is, are people thinking the same about us as we share the gospel of Christ? I want to give you an example. I know it's not a children's lesson, but I like my simple things. See this bottle, this jar of water. You know, you can see right through it. You can see it's clear water. It doesn't matter what I do to this bottle, this jar, upside down, lay it on its side, whatever I do to it, it always stays clean. I know it's very basic, brothers and sisters, but how often do we fail that test? Something happens to us. Our life gets turned upside down. Somebody just messes everything up that we were planning to do. And in the middle, oh, I see the little something floating in there. In the middle of the whole situation, we become unglued, okay? Now, let's say it plainly. We become angry, or we blow it some way. You know what's in this jar? It's in the jar, whether it's disturbed or undisturbed. And the challenge I have for my own life is, what comes out? Last evening, when I was studying yesterday, I like to, at some point, go out and do something physical, just to kind of change up things, and to also, in some sense, I can reset what I'm, go back and take a little different look at what I want to share. And I decided last evening I'm going to wash the van, and so Eddie comes home, and I said, hey, how about changing oil in the van? That's something we had needed to do for a while, and he said, sure, and he said he'll do that. And so it was getting towards evening, and so he puts the van up on the ramps, and we're working on that. I help him finish up, and as he goes to back off, I looked at it a little bit, and I said, that seems awful close to those ramps. Now, we have a homemade set that I made some years ago, and we've used it ever since. And I thought, well, it always looks close. I think it'll be fine. It's just me, you know, probably anxious about tomorrow or whatever. And as I'm watching that, and I said, okay, Eddie, back off, and we have the hood up yet. And so as he backs off, it's getting dark at the same time, and he's backing off. All of a sudden, the front of the van caught on the front of that ramp. All right, it's fiberglass. So those of you who know vehicles know what happened next. All of a sudden, I couldn't believe it, right in front of my eyes, that it caught, and it's just ripped right up through as he's backing off. I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, well, we did this 1,000 times. I mean, what? Why now? Why did it happen? And of course, I say, stop, Eddie. You know, and he's focused on backing off carefully, which only lengthened the time of the tear. And so as I looked at that and watched it happen, of course, he did the next natural thing. He realized, oh, wait a minute, Dad told me to stop. I'm back further than I should be. So he goes forward and only increases the whole problem. And I was there and I was just looking at this. And of course, I thought about this morning and the subject. And I said, am I passing this test? Am I doing what I should be doing? And so naturally, I said, all right. I remember exactly what I told him. I said, but let's finish up, and then we got to see what we can fix this. And so the front of the van, they now have those shrouds, those wind guides. Well, that was ripped loose, and I said, well, we need to fix it. And so he pulled in the garage then, and I'm on the creeper looking underneath there, and I'm thinking about this. What would have happened if I wouldn't have had this on my mind? Would I have passed the test? Did I pass the test? You can ask Eddie. But I took last night, took the time, instead of studying now, I'm taking time and putting the shroud back on, the screws that were ripped out, looked at the tear in the front of the van, and I said, you know what? God's call to us is, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. I mean, it's just the van, you know? Yes, it has a few other scratches and repairs already on it. It's just one more tear, but it's far more important that I, as a father, am an example of that moment of what God desires to do in my heart and in all of our hearts and lives. So again, Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. And interestingly, if you look that chapter up, it's talking about sacrificing to idols, it's talking about witchcraft, and then this call to sanctification, and it talks about disobedience to parents and on other failures. And in this generation, brothers and sisters, there's a tremendous call, because that is happening all around us. People are worshiping other gods. People are given to witchcraft and dishonoring parents and authorities, and it's a challenge right now as we watch the blatant hypocrisy of what's going on around us right now. It's very challenging to be honorable and be respectful. But brothers, that's our call. Sister, that's our call. It's our call to honor and be respectful. Proverbs 30 says, there is a generation that is pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. You know, as I'm getting older, the challenges of life really do show us who we are. There's a situation that my wife was telling me about yesterday, and just talked about this man and his wife, and they're older. And as I looked at him, I realized again, or heard the story, I realized again, God's call to sanctification, it's not a young people thing. It's for all of us. Every one of us is called to continue that sanctifying work. In this case, it was a relationship between a man and his wife, and God's continual call to allow that sanctifying work to work in our hearts. However, if we don't, we become hardened in who we are, and we see that time and again. The trials of life and the difficulties of life give us the opportunity to continue the sanctifying work, or we harden ourselves and we go the other direction. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Notice how it just ties it together back and forth. The purity of our lives, being pure in heart, and double-minded, our understanding, they're connected. So let's say this verse together again, Matthew 5, verse 8, all together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And here again, it's talking about the purifying of our souls through obeying. So that answers the question, how do we know how to sanctify ourselves? It's through obedience to God's word. And Jesus has told us again and again, it's interesting, in the book of John, if you look at the Gospel of John, the love chapter, John points out to us again and again the call to love and obey. Obey and love. Those two you cannot separate. They are one. If you love God, you obey him. If you obey him out of love, then his continuing work will continue in our lives. Here again in Peter, he brings this out, that we obey the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And that is a tremendous call there, that we need to have the love of the brethren, but it needs to be unfeigned. And it all comes back to our personal journey of sanctification and purification through obedience to God's word. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And so God continues to call by his word, which liveth and abideth forever. Embracing purity is embracing God's character and will. So we think of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 9. I'd like to read it, verse 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The one part that comes right home to us day by day is this part of the prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that cannot happen unless we say amen to God's will. But God's desire is that his will would be done here. And so the question is, how does our prayer go? Are we focused on ourselves? Or are we thinking of the general answer to that? Thy will be done on earth. Yeah, Lord, that's right, out there. Or what about in our church, our homes? Yeah, in what I do in my life. But what about thy will be done in my inner being as it is in heaven? You know, God's call to us to be sanctified and holy and embrace that purity all the way, because it starts with us as individuals. And it starts with us walking with God. And then in our homes, whether you have a family or you don't have a family, and then in our church, as we gather together and we seek God for answers and direction. And I really appreciated the brothers' meetings. We were talking about the vision and where do we want to go and what do we want to do. I was really blessed by that conversation this past brothers' meeting. As we seek, as a church, see, if we as a church, as God's people, are walking with God, embracing his sanctifying work in our lives, then his will, that light shines out in our communities and encourages others to step forward to that as well. When something is pure, it is genuine. One of the things that we could use as an example is gold. It was interesting, I looked it up and it said right on the top, buy pure gold only. So, well, that was interesting. That they emphasized that right off. You buy gold, make sure it's pure. And they went about explaining how you know, when you look at it like a bar or a bullion, how do you know whether it is or not? Look for this stamp, it's saying. Buy from reputable places. And it's very interesting that they said that the stamp, the investment quality gold bar should be at least 99.5% pure gold. And it says that is expressed through 99.99% stamped on the face of the bar that you buy, if you're interested in buying one. So it's interesting that men understand if you're going to buy gold, you want pure gold. I mean, it needs to be the real stuff. Make sure it's not contaminated and all that. Brothers and sisters, the call to us is so much greater. Let's embrace that purity, because out of purity and understand the ongoing work of God in our hearts comes the illumination of God, understanding His Word, who He is and what He wants us to do. Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way He has opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:19 through 22. In the ESV, I like how it talks about our bodies being washed with pure water. Let's, brothers and sisters, let's press in and walk with the Lord. And so last night, as I was thinking about today, it just came back to me an acronym, Brother John, of PURE. Brother John, those of you that aren't here regularly, John loves his acronyms. So as I was considering PURE, I thought about these different ways of how we can lay this out, and I welcome you to improve them. In testimony time, feel free. The first one for P and PURE, I have prayerfully walked through their life, thinking of Christians. We are called to prayerfully, sorry, this is dying on me. Let's see if this one works. Okay, I should have someone else write it. It takes a little too long. But I'll do the next one, united. Unite their will, and yes, you guessed it, with God's will. The next one, as we walk with God, this is assuming we're already Christians, but as we continue our walk with God, we are repented of, maybe I should have said our, but their sins and failures. This is an ongoing walk in our lives. And E, we earnestly continue to seek. Sorry. God in our lives. One of the things that we need to clearly understand, when God has done a work in our lives, it's not a once and done. We continue on. So let me just walk down through this. Prayerfully walk through their life with God as a Christian. Unite their will with God's will. Repented of their sins and failures. See, as the light of the gospel illuminates our hearts and lives, we will continue to see the greatness of God. We will see more things in our life that needs to be sanctified. Earnestly continue to seek God. I thought about the second one. You could put in here, unite their heart with God's heart. Unite their vision with God's vision. All those apply. So if we think of being pure in heart, let's welcome God's work in our lives. So in closing, let's go back. I talked about the one definition all the way through, understanding God. The other definition of seeing God is actually seeing Him. I'd like to close with that. In Revelations 22, says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Just realized that the last little bit was cut off there. It is God's heart to give us eternal life, beginning today and through all of our lives and through all of eternity. It is our choice whether we embrace that journey of being pure in heart, that journey of knowing God and understanding Him. So let's all together again, Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Thank you, and God bless each one of you.